Welcome back to the Monday Blues podcast. This is part two of our conversation with Son of Dave.
He was touring his latest album when we saw him, which is an album of covers of quite well-known pop and rock songs. But in this segment, he actually talks about his album beforehand, which is a bit of a departure from the one-man band show.
After I made a record called Blues at the Ground, and I wrote most of the songs using piano, guitar, and a lot more instrumentation. So to make that live, I had to play the guitar parts. I was happy to do that, but it isn't the sort of thrilling one man act that people like.
Yeah.
So it had a limited life.
Yeah, because obviously it was a much more upbeat sort of record as well. It seemed a bit of a departure from 02 and 03, I suppose.
It was. Conscious attempt at having a happier and bigger sounding record. The other ones were a little more angry and dark.
I saw another interview that you met Neil Young and played with him in a bar where you used to jam. Is that correct?
That's right. I was I knew he was in town. He had a big concert organized. He was actually there for a high school reunion, bizarrely enough, because that's where he went to school as a kid. He was there, and so they had some big concert planned. I was working my own shows or something, and had played the night before, I think, in the Blue Note. So I was picking up some gear, a guitar and whatnot, and it was before opening hours, but I was in there, and they got a call. I was friends with the owner of the place, and they got a call, and somebody reserved a table for 12 people, and the owner put down the phone. He looked at me and he said, "He's coming. Neil's coming." And I go, "Really? Are you sure? Is it him?" He says, "Well, I'm not 100% sure, but no one's ever reserved a table here before." So sure enough, I put a Strat and a stool and plugged them off on the stage, and I left my harps, a box of harmonicas, and a neck brace there, just in case. And sure enough, that evening, round about just after supper time, he walks in first with a lot of his pals, old pals that he used to play with when he was starting out. His first Winnipeg band was called Squires, and they came in, and he stopped right at the stage. It was sort of an open stage policy in there. A lot of jams happen, and he was looking at the harmonicas and the neck brace and the guitar, and I did the unthinkable thing. I sort of reached out and tugged on his on his coat a little bit, which is really rude, but it was noisy or whatever. So, and he turned around and looks at me with he's a scary man, actually. And he turns around and looks at me, and I say, "Mr. Young, sir, I put that guitar there and those harmonicas there and that neck brace, thinking that you might drop by, and you can use them if you want. On condition that you get me up to play a tune on the harp." And so he smiled and went and sat down. It was only a beer and a bucket of chips later, and he just got up on stage and started playing with his old bass player and drummer. And halfway through the first tune, he looks at me and he waves and he says, "Get up." And he makes me take a solo, and then he makes me take another one and another one, three times through the 12 bars in the first song, so I'm sweating. I'm doing a good job. And then he stops into another song, da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. "I'm going up, down, down, I'm going down." And he makes me take three more solos. And then into the next song, and he makes me take three. He's really giving me a hard time. He's standing at the back of the stage, he keeps making me play. Fourth song, he says, you sing one. Well, I'm whispering to him, I'm not going to sing a song, man. People won't hear Cinnamon Girl or something. I'm not going to sing a song, no way. And he goes, no, you sing one. And he forces me, he pretty much just stands there and makes me sing a song, which was humiliating. But by then, the place, word of mouth back then, there was no cell phones. There was a line up at the payphone. People calling each other, people running out in the street and just screaming. You know, having a jam, and the place was rammed and flashbulbs popping, and it was quite a good jam that was going on. And of course, every local guitar player and keyboard player was sort of inching their way forward and crawling on stage and getting in on it. The bastard, he left me. The song 5 or 6, he left the stage, snuck off while the whole thing's still rocking, and he went out back and leaned up against my car and got high with some people while I was left with this sinking ship of a blues jam. I finished the tune and then got off and just missed him. He took off. He's got good style.
We also asked him about opening for Iggy and the Stooges in the south of France recently.
But before we hear him talking about that, we wanted to play his cover of Lust for Life.
Here come Johnny Yen again, with the liquor and the drugs, and the flesh machine. He gonna do another striptease. Hey man, where'd you get that lotion? Inside a chin winner, when about the giving? About love, 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 love. It's just like an entertainer chicken. Just a modern guy. Of course, I've had it in the ear before about lust for life. About lust for life.
I saw you opened for Iggy and the Stooges last year. Did you get much interaction with them or not?
I did. After the first show, I was pretty happy. I saw Iggy, and he didn't have a lot of time to speak to the opening act, as you can imagine. He keeps to himself, and he has to keep to himself because he's got a lot of crazy fans, I think. He did say, "Hey man, nice harp playing," and that made my day. And then the second show that we did was National Independence Day in Lyon. It was an amphitheater, an old Roman amphitheater with between 5,000 and 10,000 people. It was absolutely gorgeous, and fireworks afterwards. And under the fireworks, I was having a smoke with a couple of the Stooges and watching the fireworks go off. That was nice.
Yeah, fantastic.
While Iggy was still in his dressing room sipping a really fine bottle of wine with old friends and his pince-nez on and his feet up, so
doesn't sound very rock and roll.
Yeah, well, he puts on a wicked heavy show. Yeah, yeah. He covered that stage back and forth 100 times in the set, so he puts on a fully charged show, so he's allowed to sit down and have wine and fine food afterwards.
Well, I suppose that applies to you to an extent. You seem to go for it when you play live as well.
I go for it and then I collapse afterwards. At this age, I have to sit down. It's up and down all the time. The legs start to hurt. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us today. It's really looking forward to the show, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. Good luck with your podcast, Blues Experience.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.